Hey, thanks for joining us today for The Last Storm. Today, Dave and I are going to get into talking about the Summer League that starts tomorrow. Isaiah Roby has been waived by the team, so what's next for him? And is it going to be the Lakers? Is it going to be Detroit? Who knows? Chris Verno says Dort is overpaid, so we know Verno can go fuck himself. Would you rather? We have a bunch of players. Since we have too many players for the roster, we're going to ask who would you rather as we slide this down. We're going to talk about that plane wreck that almost plane wreck that made it so we lost the entire Thunder team. It's a sad moment to think about, but everybody survived, so we're all good. And Mike Muscala is back, so we're going to talk about that. And never forget, Josh Giddey is the newest Thunder centerfold. Thanks for joining us. Here we go. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
Man, Isaiah Roby being released, or waived, I'm sorry, being waived. I mean, listen.
Yeah, right after we picked up the team option, right before the money got guaranteed.
I kind of, here's the thing about it, is $1.9 million, and we let him walk. I mean, that's a little bit of money. I have to say is that this could be hand-in-hand with the whole idea that Isaiah Roby, agent, when they weren't sure if the Thunder were going to pick up the option, was looking at other teams that he could go to. And this could be a direct correlation to him finding a team that he thinks Isaiah Roby would fit very well on. And the news is coming out. Where exactly is he going?
Well, I saw some place last night that said that the Lakers had claimed him off of the waivers, but like then this morning I haven't seen it again. So while I did see that in a article, I've seen that like the Pistons are potentially looking at him, like different teams like that. So yeah, if he got to go to the Lakers, that would be a great move for him. I can see why teams would think we need to give this guy a shot. I mean, he shot 44% from three last year. He's a modern big, and he can slide over and play the power forward. So I like what he brings to the team. I wish he was still with the Thunder, but we still have 19 players under contract, and we have to get rid of four more players before the season starts. So there's going to be a crunch. We hate seeing a player like Isaiah leave, but in the end, he's always going to be a part of the Thunder family.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that his time with the Thunder is over either. I think that the Thunder family, I mean, truly loves him. If you look at over Twitter or any social media, unlike whenever we ever cut somebody else, there's so much love for Isaiah Roby. So I don't think he's done. He's just a special player. The way he plays, the way he understands the game, and you can also see how he has helped Poku's game tremendously. I feel like Poku is one of those people that benefit from Isaiah Roby in the way that he plays, the way he hustles out there. And speaking of Poku, man, you sent me this amazing article from Chris Becker. It was on SI.com, Fan Nation. First of all, Chris Becker is an OSU graduate, unbelievable guy.
I think he's still in school right now. I'm not sure, though.
Oh, my gosh. Like, the way that he writes, I love it, man. First of all, he has incredible talent. If you haven't read his stuff before or know who he is, I would highly recommend going and doing your research and figuring out who this young man is, because he's going to be definitely a big writer for the Oklahoma City Thunder in the future.
Yeah, I definitely appreciated that article. What stood out to you about it the most?
Man, I love how he talks about this being a very important year for Poku. Understanding that this is the third year. We saw him last year take some huge strides and up in his game. But this year, to me, is the big year, and it's what I've been saying to you. So it's great to see that Chris recognizes that as well. He goes in there and talks about Trey Mann. He talks about this being their second year. Where is Trey Mann and Giddey and JRE going to be at in their second year? You want to see an improvement there, but how much improvement are they going to actually have? Again, you're talking about Poku. He's been able to continue to do some great things this summer, but really this is the year that we have to see what Poku can do, because the reality is that this is his third year. Next year is going to be the year he's working for his contract. So if there's not been a lot of improvement, I don't know what we do with him.
Well, what we saw last year, we really liked, and just him handling the ball, like playing that point guard sometimes at, you know, his size. But yeah, I mean, it's obvious that he's a big guard, but he's exceptionally skilled and he's a really creative passer and gets it done. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of what he brings to the table. And like you mentioned, some of those other guys, like last year's rookie class, like a lot of pressure on them, especially with the roster being overloaded as it is, to continue to improve and find ways to contribute. So I definitely appreciate that article by Chris. And I think, like you said, this is a big year. It starts in the summer. Like, we're going to be finding out tomorrow, actually, is the first game of the summer league. And that's going to be really interesting to see. I'm excited about, you know, going up against the Jazz. Obviously, they've changed quite a bit since the last time we saw them. That's probably not going to be visible out on the court because Gobert wasn't going to be playing anyway. But after the Jazz, we play against the Grizzlies, and I'm excited about that. You know, a big Grizzlies fan, Chris Vernon of the Mismatch, he had some things to say about Lu Dort. That was some bullshit, bro, and I definitely didn't appreciate it. I think when he started comparing him to Jason Tate and his game, basically saying we're overpaying, you know, by a ton for Lu Dort, it really fired me up, bro. I mean, I get that Vernon is a big Grizzlies fan, and the Grizzlies and the Thunder go way back in their hate for each other, but going after Dort like that and comparing him to Tate is a joke. I mean, Dort takes the toughest defensive assignment, and he does a great job of taking the opponent out of their game without fouling. And on top of that, you know, he's almost a 20-point per game score. Like, and you're complaining that he's getting $87.5 million. Like, I'm not worried about Chris Vernon, but I'm tired of people who think they're smart and they're criticizing this contract. This is like the third talking head that people, you know, somewhat respect that I've seen go after this contract. And I understand that they have limitations. Like, they really can't see past the tip of their own nose. So that's a pretty, you know, pretty big handicap there. But what really happens is they go after these players, and then everybody thinks, oh yeah, this is the smart way to do it. Like, anybody who tells you that Dort is overpaid is full of shit. Don't ever accept that. You got to understand, we're paying him for his progression. We understand that he's a student of the game. We've seen year after year improvement in every single facet of his game. So it doesn't matter if people are sitting there talking about, oh well, his, you know, advanced defensive statistics aren't what they used to be. No, teams have realized what Dort does, similar to what happened with Ibaka, and they start, you know, game planning and going away from that guy. Don't buy into it. Dort takes the best offensive player on the other team, and at the same time, he's much better offensive player as Tate. So fuck Tate, fuck Verno, fuck the Mismatch, and fuck all the experts.
Yeah, and this goes right back to the issue that we're having in Oklahoma City, even with all the people that believe that Dort was overpaid. Listen, guys, I with all due respect, I understand why your mindset about overpaying a guy like this, but I mean, look at it. Oklahoma City, when you have a player that plays as hard as Dort does and takes, like Mark said, the best offensive assignment, like that's offensive player, like that's where I keep on going back to, is that Dort is going to show everybody that this contract is a small contract comparatively to what he deserves. I get it.
Yes.
That there's people out there that are going to say this or say that about the way that Dort plays and stuff. But I remember when Dennis Rodman got his bigger contract, everybody thought he was overpaid. I remember when Draymond Green got his contract, everybody thought he was overpaid. you know, we could go down the list of players that play with heart, that play with passion, that play with desire to go all balls against the wall
and play,
and, you know,
play like, with intangibles, bro.
Exactly. Like, I understand that people look at this contract and say, this is a huge contract, and it is. $87.5 million is a large sum of money. But what Dort's going to do for us is going to be far more than this $87.5 million contract. It's going to be what I would consider, let's just put it out there, man. I think he's going to do at least $140 million of work out there. When people look back and they compare his contract to what other people got, I think people will say he should have got a $140 million contract. The Oklahoma City Thunder got the really good deal with Dort.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You got to look at what he's going to be worth. And yeah, it's easy to limit him based on where he's at right now, but he's a student of the game. He's going to continue to improve. I remember when Steven Adams got his contract, everybody thought that was too much. But in the end, when it came time to trade Steven Adams, like, there was no problem trading him, and we got incredible return from that. And even though people thought he was overpaid, but there were teams that appreciate what he brings to the table. They still do, and he's still playing in the league, and he's still a contributor on a good team. Right. So it's just, it's understanding what you have and understanding that, like, these people, their job is to make up shit and talk out their ass, and sometimes they get it right. But you got to understand at the same time, Sam Presti's job is to attempt to see things for the way they will be and not necessarily just the way they are. And you have to project where a player is headed. And sometimes you're not going to nail it. That's fine. But other times you look at it and you say, what does this player bring to the community of the Thunder? What does he bring to the team? What assignments does he pick up offensively and defensively? And what is that worth to the team? And Lu Dort is worth more than we're paying him. So we got to steal. It's going to take some time for everybody else to come around. But my guess is 2.5 years into this, people are going to be like, how the hell did they get such a favorable contract? So that's just going to take some time. We can rest on knowing that in the long run, it's going to prove out just fine. But in the meantime, you got to let the critics go ahead and bitch and moan, because if they don't do it now, they're never going to, and it's their role, so you got to give them that space.
Yeah, you really do. Like, I get it. Like, we saw this happen with other players that we've had in the past getting max contracts that people were like, I don't think they deserve a max contract. But going back to what you said about writers talking out their ass sometimes, you sent me an article earlier today, yesterday, was Ryan Bershinger. About what Kevin Durant should do, man. I read this 3 or 4 times because I'm intrigued by the idea that this is the best thing for Kevin Durant's career. And what Ryan says in here was Kevin Durant should want to return to Oklahoma City. And he lays out this reason of why. Even if it was making Sam Presti say, no, I do not want Kevin Durant, or Sam Presti going out there and making the deal. But the point is that Ryan puts out this beautiful aspect of what happened to, you know, Durant's image right now, what's happened to it. And yes, there's going to be teams that are willing to pay a ton for him. But the reality is that even a simple, I would like to go to Oklahoma City, leaking from his team could change everything for him.
Yeah, and did you listen to it? That was a little radio conversation. You should definitely.
Oh, there's 5 minutes. I just saw that. There's 5 minutes and 39 seconds yeah. into it. But
They talk about him. Yeah, him. They talk about him, like, the idea of him being like media savvy or like understanding his public image, and that's just not what, like, he has no idea where he's at right now in the public's eye. But if he did have, you know, a little bit of, you know, media savvy, he would understand letting his team or himself, like, just kind of leaking that the Thunder was on his list would go a long way to restore his image. I don't know if it would be enough, but right now he's definitely, you know, a player without a home, and he's sort of left every fan base that he's left a little bit, you know, fired up. So if he could reunite with that Thunder fan base, that would be a really good thing. And he wouldn't even have to go play for the Thunder. He would just have to kind of let them feel like we were back in it on his list. And that would go a long way for the Thunder fans. I like the idea. I'm a big fan of, like, there being some sort of reconciliation. There's a lot of conversations that, like, we're too far away. Like, Durant isn't forgiving us, and all, like, we see a lot of fans who aren't forgiving Durant, yada, yada, yada. But is it going to happen? No, it's not going to happen. We get that. But in the end, we have to, as a fan base, be willing to open former players back up, back to the fold with open arms. And that's going to be, it's going to be difficult. We're going to have to swallow our pride, and we're going to have to admit, yeah, like, that shit hurt. But in the end, like, he's that good of a player. And not just that, but, you know, he also did more for our city than anybody else that I can think of in the history of the city. Like, I know that there'd be people like, you know, like the Hefner family or the Draper family, like, big time, the Overholzer family, like, you know, fuck all that noise. Like, the modern city, KD changed the skyline.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's the reality of it, is you're looking at this man that came into the city as a young man and grew up there. And I get it. He didn't get a chance to get to that next contract with the Thunder. But man, it was so close. And that's what I keep on going back to, is that if there was a possibility that KD came back, you know what? You know, we who knows what we do next year, the next year. And it's unfortunate that it didn't happen like that. And yes, I'm still hurt over it, because it's that what if. But guess what? Sam Presti learned an important lesson from that. And I feel like I keep on going back to this and recognizing the organization where it's at and where it's going, is that Sam Presti understood exactly what this meant. And recognizing that, you know, like we've said in the past, is he didn't have the draft capital to continue this run. Even if he brought KD back with Westbrook, you know, maybe, Mark, maybe they get an opportunity to make another finals run. But without the draft capital, it would have been really, really difficult. So this is why I keep on going back to, is that Sam Presti made up by making this team now. And the guys are all in that 23 or under group. It's as simple as that. We've got an insane group of players right now. Maybe the greatest young talent ever put together. I get it. I understand what you're saying. Like, oh my gosh, dude, that's ridiculous. But think about Shea, Dort, Josh Giddey. I mean, we could even say that we could end up having four guys that start that are from overseas. And I love it, man. Like, I say overseas, different countries, being Canada, Australia. You know, we got France in there. A couple of French guys, like we have Poku. These guys are from all over the world. And I love it, because the way that they transition to the game, it takes time for them to do so. So bringing all these guys in and everybody peaking at the same time, and then utilizing the draft picks that you have for the next seven drafts, man, like, the Thunder aren't going anywhere. And they're going to be peaking at the right time with the right amount of draft picks. And it's going to be insane to see how they are able to add players every single year to this team.
Yeah, dude. And like you mentioned, you know, we think about KD leaving, and it hurts, bro. But I wanted to talk a little bit about something that, like, it's tough. Like, when I was in St. Louis, I was at a casino. I've mentioned this story before, right? And a guy saw my ID, and he was like, oh, Oklahoma, you guys lost KD. I was like, shit. Yeah, that hurts. And he was like, well, we just lost our whole team. They had just lost the Rams. And he's like, at least you still have your team. You know, and I think that's a good point. And I was just kind of skimming through different stories today, and I realized how close it was that to us, like, actually losing our whole team. Mm-hmm. And not through the team actually, like, walking away. But you guys should take a look at this. It was Carmelo Anthony took a picture of an airplane flight that almost took out the entire fucking Thunder team. There was a flight, and it was on their way to Chicago. It was 5 years ago, and they ran into something. Like, they're not even sure what the plane hit, but if you look at the picture of the plane, bro, like, there's a dent the size of the whole front of the plane that I don't even know. They don't know what happened, but if that had been a few feet up, it would have taken out the pilots, bro. And that was, like, Russ, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, like, that team. We almost lost our entire fucking team through a plane wreck. Like, we don't know what tomorrow holds. And some of those situations can be like harder than we even imagine. And yeah, we got away with one there, like, but we need to just take a minute every single year and just recognize how lucky we are to continue to have an NBA team, to continue to have players that have a chance to be all-stars, all-time greats, you know, superstars. Like, we're building something, and we got dangerously close to losing it all, not just through a player or players leaving us, but through, you know, acts, freaks of nature, act of God, things like that. Like, anything could happen. And in the end, the only reason we got a team in Oklahoma City in the first place was, you know, a hurricane that took out New Orleans, and it showed that we could support a team. So we have to understand we are the lucky people. We have a team that reps our city, and there's no guarantees what tomorrow will hold. And we just need to continue to embrace the fact that as a community, this team binds us all together. It's the adhesive, it's the glue that unites us all around the world. And there was a tweet I saw somebody put up, and they were just like, are you from Oklahoma or from somewhere else? And most of the people said they were from somewhere else. And he's like, where else? And the answer is from all over the world, all over the country. It's awesome to see that there is a unifying thing. And not everybody has ever been to Oklahoma that loves the Thunder. But if you lived in Oklahoma, then you understand what the Thunder means to Oklahoma. And as a community, as a state, man, it's something special that we have to continue to appreciate.
Yeah, and I want to say about 2 weeks ago, man, I was watching We Are Marshals, I think it was, about the plane crash in 1970, November 14th, 1970, where the entire football team was lost. It took decades for them to even have another football team that was even worthy of being out in the football field. The point is, what I was making with that is that story that we hear about with Russ and everybody else like that is, if that plane crash did happen, the Oklahoma City Thunder would be a completely different situation. And, you know, those are the moments in life where you have to take a step back and appreciate it. I don't know if this has any reason with Carmelo end up not playing with the team that long after the that incident. But the reality is that I look at everything that's going on in life, and I see these massive situations for each and everybody to recognize that, you know, life can just be short, very short, very quickly. You know, and, you know, both Mark and I have had what I would consider near-death experiences and situations. Mark's was much more severe than mine was, where he was traveling high, you know, 75 whatever miles an hour, and his car flipped multiple times, and he ended up slipping out. And in fact, a canoe saved his life. But the reality is that everybody gets in these situations where they're big moments and they give you time to step back and recognize. But if you look at this and you see what happened with this team, and you gotta take a moment, because shortly after this, when I say shortly, it was the end of the season, things started changing for the Thunder. That was the moment to me where I started recognizing, like, I remember seeing this on Instagram when this happened, right, Mark? But reading the story years afterwards, 5 years afterwards, it's much more powerful, because you just don't recognize what that could have meant. And seeing that is crazy. And I appreciate everybody that's able to, you know, follow this team. Like Mark said, everybody around the world that follows this team, and even on our podcast, like, we go on our podcast and we see countries that download our podcast, and we get very, you know, honored. You know, the Netherlands, we get a lot from the Netherlands. We get a lot from Bahamas. We get a lot from Costa Rica. We get a lot from some amazing countries out there. And it's always great to be able to see and count for everybody that listens to us, because it means a lot. You know, like, Mark and I, we're very raw. We like to have no filter, and that's just not everybody's cup of tea. But everybody that turns on our podcast, you know, Australia, New Zealand, like, you guys are amazing, because, like, we understand that you guys get it, you know, like, this is who we are. Like, this is who Mark and I are. This is the conversations that we have with other people. Like, we don't filter our words. We don't, like, all of a sudden change our language because we're around certain people. So We just appreciate you guys being part of that and part of this community with us.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's amazingly fun to watch not just the basketball that's happening out on the court, but the entire organization and the team and the community. And let's face it, like, we're watching these young players turn into superstars. And there's a lot of factors that go into being a superstar. And, you know, especially with a player like Shea, right? He's walking runways, like, he's cover of magazines. Like, this guy is going to, you know, continue to see his star rise in the NBA and across the globe. And that's really special. And another guy we watch is Josh Giddey. Like, he's definitely on a trajectory, and you can tell, like, he is starting to kind of come to terms with his celebrity. And one of those things I think that really fits him well is he just bought a new BMW, bro, and it's the M8. Yeah. It's the fastest BMW that they've ever made, at least the fastest M version of the BMW. I'm sure they made some sort of like F1, you know, style,
absolutely, you know,
250-mile-an-hour car, but he has that new M8, bro. It's a sick car. It fucking hauls. And like, I noticed he always looks good. His cars and his outfits when he's going to the games, he's always matching, bro. He's going to be the next cover, you know, magazine type dude. We'll call him a centerfold. He'll be the next Thunder centerfold, bro.
He's good looking. It helps him out. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some guys that in the NBA that you see that you just scratch your head, like Caruso, man, right? With his headband, he kind of looks like a penis with a condom rolled on, you know? Like.
Did you see that thing I sent you about him, bro?
Yeah, I was just reading that. Man, that's crazy. Good.
Like, it was, it's talking about, basically, it's like a little interview. He was on the Old Man and the Three podcast with J.J. Redick, and talking about when he got to the Thunder, he was playing on the G League, and Sam Presti took a trip with the G League. I think they were playing two games in three nights in Sioux Falls, North Dakota. I think is where like that game was, and he stayed with the team, and there was a time where they were able to sit there and just pick his brain. He gave them an hour and a half where all the players could just ask him any question that they wanted, and Caruso said he had no idea that, like, if it was normal that a GM would do this or not, but he was like, okay, I'm gonna really dig into the situation. And one of the guys asked, what do you look for in a player that goes from the G League up to a two-way contract? And Presti said, I'm looking for a good teammate and somebody who can defend multiple positions, as many positions as possible. And so Caruso said, well, the first one I can do. That's not hard for me to be a good person and a good teammate. But he had just left training camp with the Thunder, and that was the point where they had Russ and Oladipo at the one and the two. And he felt like he could guard some ones and a few twos at that point. And he realized that if he was going to make an impact in the NBA, it was going to be on the defensive end. So understanding, like, one thing he said is understanding the position that you're trying out for when you're a G League player is the key. They have somebody they pay, you know, $30 million a year to score 25 points. But that's not what they're bringing you in for. But just listening to Caruso talk about that relationship with Sam Presti and how Sam Presti changed his life by explaining those things to him, I mean, I love it because it's organizational. It's top to bottom. Sam Presti isn't just like, oh, I'm going to hang out with the stars. He went to the Orlando bubble. He went early enough to quarantine himself for a week in advance. And that's where we heard he fell in love with Josh Giddey, because when you're locked in a hotel room for a week, what else are you going to do other than watch Josh Giddey play?
Yeah, man. And again, like, when you see these young men that figure it out, and one of the reasons they figure it out is because of how the organization treats them. You know, obviously Caruso knows now that it is not normal for a GM to travel with the team and pretty much give them open mic questions. Like, that's not normal. And I think that's something that he's going to appreciate as he goes down the road. There's so many guys that have gone through our G League that are having impacts in the NBA. So, you know, like, this is exactly why I have to say is that when you have a G League that are putting out players like Crusoe and different things like that, you have to stop. And you have to just admire what Sam Presti has done. And we've talked about it a lot, is that the G League is not like a typical G League in the aspect of these players are doing this, these players are doing that, and then they're going on and playing on. No. The ones that are, make, like Mark said, good teammates, multiple, and can guard multiple positions, they're going up and playing with the Thunder. And then the players that aren't getting that opportunity to go play with the Thunder, they're getting opportunities other places. And it's just nice to see that we have even a very loyal following in our G League. I can't say enough about what Sam Presti has done to this organization. And you can definitely tell the difference between, 2008, when he was starting that team, and the 2020, let's just say 21, when he started this team. Bro, it's next level. And it's from top to bottom. The way the organization is run, the way it's designed to bring in players, up their value, and trade them out. And I love this, man. We talked about the Thunder have to drop four more players. Do you mind if we talk about that real quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So if we have four more players that we have to drop, what do we got? Green, Favors. Who else, man? Who else we got to look at?
Well, it's not going to be Moose, I don't think, because we just gave him a new contract for the vet minimum. Yep. And I think that's a pretty good deal for us. I think he brings a lot to the table, and he's obviously willing to take less than he can make other places, so that's
good. We got our two-way contracts done.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think I love Lindy Waters. I'd hate to see him leave, but is he on a two-way right now?
No, I think Lindy would be one of those players that I would love to see in our G League. So when we get injuries, they can come up. Yeah. I think he would be a good two-way player. And I think Vit Krejci, I like him a lot. But in my opinion, when I say two-way player, these are the type of guys that because of Vit just coming back from last year from being injured towards the end of the season, I think he could utilize time in the G League to get better. Now, I don't know how that works with a contract like that, if he counts as a player on the team or what, but I'm kind of circling that and saying maybe those two guys, or maybe even, I don't know, man, trying to find a place for Maladon, trying to find a place for Ty. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Teo. I got a chance to watch him play France. Yeah. I mean,
he looks great, dude.
I get why people are struggling to see the long-term, future with him, but we have to continue to be patient. He's getting better, and if he can start finishing through contact, which I think is like the next element to his game, he's going to be an exceptional player. So it can be frustrating to watch a player like him, kind of take his time, and that's just a part of it. Like, you drafted him when he was 19 in the second round. You can't expect him to, come in immediately and light everybody on fire. But with Teo, I have a lot of confidence that he's going to be fine. I'd like to see him stick around. It would really stink to see another team get him and them do really, really well. So, but at the same time, what are we going to do? I do think that there's going to be an opportunity as the season goes on. Maybe there will be a trade that make it so we don't cut some of these guys, but I don't know.
Let me just go through it, and you say keep or cut, all right?
All right.
Darius Bazley.
Keep.
Kendrick Williams. Keep. JRE.
Keep.
Obviously, Mike Muscala we're keeping. Vita Krejci.
I mean, I like his size. I like his.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Play multiple positions, but I'd say he's a bit on the border.
Vit Krejci or Aaron Wiggins?
Wiggins.
All right. Me too. I agree with that one. Trey Mann.
Yeah, I'm keeping him.
Poku, we're keeping. What about Ty?
I mean, Ty's 24. He's in the same situation, I think, is Roby, where a little bit older than where we're trending, but he's also proven that he can play. So I'm not questioning whether or not he's going to be able to bounce back off of this.
All right. I agree. And we talked about Favors. We're not talking about any of our rookies this year. We talked about Teo and Lindy Waters. Let me ask you this. Lindy Waters or Ty?
I'm going to go Waters. I mean, Ty has proven more in the NBA at this stage, but with Waters being homegrown Oklahoma talent, and I think his shot, to me, projects to be in a better position than Ty because of his high release point, his size, his ability to get some rise on it. Whereas Ty is like a combo guard, like a 1/2. Waters is more of a 2/3. So I think that kind of like gives him a little bit more of an advantage to just kind of run down the court and catch and shoot.
All right. Veet Krejci or Lindy Waters?
Krejci.
Wow. Okay. I like it. And that's pretty much what I was going to say is I actually look at, maybe just because I homer Lindy Waters and I love his story. He got fucked over hardcore. But he was able to finish his career there at Moore or Westmore or so whatever the fuck whatever Moore was.
I think it was Norman North.
I thought it was Moore, but you're right, Norman. So Lindy Waters, in my opinion, I'd keep over Ty, I'd keep over Veet Krejci, and I would even keep over Aaron Wiggins if it was up to me.
Really?
And this is why. Call me Homer, call me whichever you want, is Lindy's Waters, the way he shoots the ball, his high release, his size, his knowledge of the game, to me, he reeks of a 45% shooter in the league. And we know he can play defense. I think you have to give Lindy Waters a couple extra years to see if he can truly pull things together. Because if he can, you're talking about maybe a six-man award winner in the future.
Yeah, you started out talking about Wiggins and Veet, here's the thing, Wiggins is, I believe, older than Veet, right? So Wiggins is 23. But listen,
I love these guys. I'm not saying I want to keep as many of these guys as possible, obviously, but I just value Lindy Waters, his shot, the fact he's an Oklahoman, like, he is an amazing player I want on this team for the future. And that's simple. Like, I look at him, the way he played at the end of the year, and he showed me enough where I said, I want to know more. And, I spent time looking him up, trying to figure everything out. And then I found his story, and I was like, this young man got fucked over hardcore. He played with Trae Young on a high school team, and then he got fucked over so hardcore he had to go play basketball in Kansas for a year. Not a whole year, but the point is, like, he bounced back, he got his shit together, he played at OSU for 4 years, and now he gets a chance with the Thunder. It's a great story, and I'm not letting that young man go for jack shit, even though he probably will end up leaving, but I wouldn't let him go.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I mean, this is a team that you look at the top of it, and we're very invested in. Like, it's easy to say, like, we're not going to let, this group of players go. Chet through SGA, Giddy, even Dort now is obviously long-term playing. Our rookies, like, we like these guys. But when you get down to the end, and some of these guys are 23, 24 years old, like, it's hard to really be like, okay, we're for sure going to ride with these guys for the rest of the way. Now, some of them are new to the league, and so you're going to give them a little bit more space to see kind of where their trajectory takes them. But, I mean, it's hard. It's a tough decision.
It's hard when you fall in love with the team like we have. You know, yeah. we saw, if it wasn't for us seeing all these players play last year at the end of the year, we'd be like, oh, cut this person, cut that person, cut this person. But we saw all these guys give their hearts out, and it makes it so much more difficult.
Yeah, it does. It's hard. It is. You're right about that. And I mean, I want to be like, oh, we're going to keep all of these guys, but that's just not the reality. And in the end, we're going to be able to continue to cheer for these guys as they go forward, no matter where they go. We mentioned Moose being back. That to me is really meaningful. I love it. It could be easy. I mean, I think he's 30. So obviously, like, the timeline isn't really lining up with us, but we value loyalty. We value what he brings to the table, not just from a skill perspective, but he is skilled, but also from a leadership perspective, a teammate perspective, a community perspective. And the future within the organization for Moose is probably going to be somewhat like Nick Collison, where he takes on a job within the front office or maybe on the bench after he's done. He's found a home, and we embrace him, and he embraces us, and that's all we're looking for. You know, it doesn't have to be much more than that. And I think to kind of like go back to what we were talking about toward the beginning with KD, I think that's kind of the hardest part. Like, this community is a community, and we want people who want to be there. And it felt like when KD left, he was saying he never wanted to be here in the first place. Like, there was a lot of things he said that kind of, everything from him talking about with the Warriors, him being allowed to have headphones in during shoot-arounds, the Thunder he wasn't allowed to, and how he finally got to what he felt like was a really professional organization with the Warriors, all this shit that was taking, you know, really bullshit shots at the Thunder, like, it hurts. It hurts. But in the end, we can't afford to be one of those people that say, if you've ever left, we don't want you back. Like, that's just not who we are. Maybe it's different when it comes to basketball, but as a community in Oklahoma, we've never acted that way. We've never been like, oh, like, if you want to be here, we refuse to accept you. Like, if you choose to be in Oklahoma, that's all that it takes for us to be like, you're part of the family.
Yeah, and it reminds me of back in Oklahoma City, where we lived there. We had some neighbors, and the neighbors were, last names were the Pittmans. And we used to go over there and play, and we used to break their shit all the time. I always felt bad about it. And one day we went over there, and something happened, and I knocked down the dish that they got at their wedding for a wedding present. It was their last wedding present that wasn't broken or destroyed.
Yeah, I remember this.
And I felt so bad. I was like, to the point of tears, because she was crying and I felt bad, and you know, I was an emotional kid anyways, and I'm helping clean up, and then I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. And she's like, it's fine, we forgive, we're Oklahomans, it's the Oklahoman way. Even though I know it hurt her, it still was like impactful in that moment, because I recognized that like Mrs. Pittman, she was giving me an important lesson on life, even though I was just, you know, so like felt bad about breaking it. I didn't recognize what she was saying until later in life, of the whole, we just forgive, you know. And there's so many times that something happened, and whether I had a car accident or something, and I get out and I'm like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And they're like, hey, we're good, you're good, relax, calm down. You know, whatever the situation was, like, I always felt there was a way of people forgiving quickly in Oklahoma. Yeah, there's people that are assholes and that held grudges or cut you off and slam on their brakes and, you know, all this other stuff. But the majority of the people that I ran into for the, you know, 15, 16 years that I lived in Oklahoma, man, it was forgiving. It was kindness. It was, we embrace anybody that comes to our community, no matter where you've come from. And that's what I've always said about the way that we forgive. And for me, one of those biggest ways that we could do so is that by showing Kevin Durant support. There's not a lot of people doing that out there, but if you're an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, I just highly, highly recommend that we just throw KD some support, recognizing that his life is in shambles right now. Life is going crazy. You're hearing all these rumors about possibly going here, possibly going here. Right now it's the Raptors. KD probably does not want to play in Toronto, but he might not have a choice because he doesn't have any say in where he's going if he goes. So again, this is just insane to me. If KD knew there was some support out there, maybe there'd be some different responses, but I don't know. I get emotional when I think about just the way that Oklahoma and Oklahomans are so loving as a community, and it's been great.
Yeah, and if you spent your whole life in Oklahoma, you may not realize that other communities aren't like that. You know, you may not know that, like the first step of somebody who has been hit with a car or has been had something bad happen to them is for them to look at you and say, like, I want to make sure you're okay. You know, and it can be jarring because you're like, you're anticipating people being angry at you, but instead they put an arm around you and they say, like, you all right? And it's like, wow, like, this is different. So if you haven't ever experienced that type of love in your life, you can accept Oklahoma as your personal savior right now. I just want you to take a minute.
Call 1-800 Oklahoma. Jesus loves you.
Pray to Will Rogers to save your soul. Wiley Post will fly you to heaven and everything will be better.
Amen to that, man. I have nothing else to say about that, man.
Well, you want to leave it there, bro?
Yeah. I just want to throw a huge shout out to all of our listeners. Thank you so much for listening. You guys make this all happen. If it wasn't for you guys, Mark and I would only be talking to ourselves. We wouldn't be doing this still. So we appreciate you guys making us feel part of your everyday. So we'll be back in the next couple of days. Not too sure. But happy 4th of July, everybody. Hope everybody stays responsible. Throw some drinks back. Throw some blunts together. Do what you do, but do it fucking responsible, because I don't want to hear a story about, we won't go into that, Dakota.
Yeah.
So anyways, we love you guys. See you guys later.
Yeah, and real quick, we will be back. I will be tomorrow night after the Summer League game against the Jazz.
What time is that game at, by the way?
It's a late game, bro. It's going to be at 9 o'clock Eastern time.
Could be there. I don't know, but I've got something going on late tomorrow night, so we'll see.
Yeah, we're going to try to shrink down the post games, try to get them into 10 to 15 minute range. We'll see what happens.
10 to 15 inches or 10 to 15 range?
Yeah, well, I understand why, for me, it would seem like shrinking down to 10 to 15 is right, but no. Anyway, we'll see what happens, but we're excited about the Summer League starting tomorrow. It's going to be going on for about 2 weeks, and then after that, we got 2 months, 2.5 months of no Thunderball. So enjoy it while it lasts, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. And thanks for joining us. We'll see you soon. I'm trying to chase it. Kids from Oklahoma, man, we don't waste it. I'm just trying to paint the picture for me. Something I could give a damn about in maybe 40 years, and I've been ready.